today on Real Radio.
And you need to tell your child, you know what? God can give you the power to say no. It says right here in the Bible that He'll give us the power to abstain. He's asking us to abstain. And that's the beautiful thing about God is when He says something, when He requires something from us, He gives us the power to do it. He's so good.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called How a Church Ought to Walk, begins in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 with verses 1 through 8. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Thessalonian church to encourage them in their commitment to Christ. You know, it's against human nature to be teachable, and we're prone to easily forget what we've learned. Paul's been teaching the church in great love by repeating important issues of the Christian walk. He wants it to go down deep into their hearts so they can face the trouble that surrounds them with confidence in their faith. Today, Pastor Jack tells us the church must be set apart from the world. God did not call His church to be impure. He gives us the power through the Holy Spirit to fight temptation. To reject God's instruction, well, that's a sin against our own soul. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
If your desire is to please God, then you can handle what follows here. If your desire is not to please God, but to be religious, to do some Christian time, you're going to be upset with this. But the motive is issue. I mean, the motive is the issue of the heart and our intentions. Look at verse 2. He says, "For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus Christ." Wait a minute. Is this the New Testament? It says commandments. That's right, commandments. Oh, brother, he's going to get legalistic on us. You know, the Bible tells us that we are no longer under the law. Do you know what that means? Romans tells us that. The book of Galatians tells us that. It's true. We are no longer under the law. We do not come to salvation and to eternal life by keeping the law. Can't do it. Can't be done. We are no longer under the demand of the law regarding our salvation. But the Christian, by the power, listen, by the power of the Holy Spirit, longs in his heart to fulfill the law of God. Though we do not try to pursue the law of God for salvation, it's impossible. That's why God says concerning the new covenant, the born-again relationship, I will write my law on their hearts. We walk with Him in love, and our motive is love, because He commands us. God issues to us commandments. And it's funny, everybody, you know, God, you know, you're going to issue commandments. You know, let me play God for a while, and I'll do my own commandments. You always get to be God. Let me be God for a little bit. And people want to write their own book. Well, listen, He issues to us commandments. And don't rip them off right now in your heart this morning. Know why He issues a commandment. He doesn't sit up there in heaven and go, I just want to make their life miserable. I want to. In fact, I only gave them 10. I'm going to make it 20. He doesn't do that. He gives His commands because He loves. And you can view God giving His commandments in some other light, and you're going to be missing His whole nature. He has told you what to do, what not to do, because He loves you. And in your heart and my heart this morning, you either say, God, you tell me exactly what you want me to do. Isn't that your heart? Doesn't your heart beat for that? God, tell me exactly what you want. Don't you get upset with God when He's not saying anything? You want Him to tell you what to do? I do. You're not saying anything. I want Him to tell me what to do. I love it. And then there's people, maybe, and they say, you know what, God, I don't want you just come out of your little box Sunday at 7:45. You can hang around a little bit, but you make sure you get in that box, you know, 9 o'clock. You don't know Him. And if you knew Him, you'd say, God, speak, say, I'll do anything you want me to do. It's a wonderful way to live. But this word command is a military term. It means to give instructions concerning an attack. It's a briefing. This is what we're going to do. There's a war going on, and this is what we're going to do. It's going to issue a command. This is how we do not lose the war. Are you ready, people? This is how we don't lose the war. This is the command. And it's from the Lord Jesus Christ. Very important. The second thing I want you to see right here is found in verse 3, and that is how God wants us to walk. This is His walk for us. He says, "For this is the will of God." You ought to underline that. Everybody wants to know, what's God's will for my life? Well, here it is. You ready? It's right out here. I mean, can you believe it? It's right in print. You don't have to guess. You don't have to fast and pray to find out. This is God's will, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. That's God's will. So His will is, first of all, that we be sanctified. Sanctification. The word means, I'm going to read it to you. It's a tremendous word. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to, number one, set apart a man or a woman from the world for the purposes of God by a moment-by-moment growth. But also, number two, to enable that man or that woman to be recorded as a holy person in the sight of God in the finished work of Christ. You are not only sanctified the moment you are born again, set apart for God, but God in your day-to-day living sets you apart from the ways of the world. And it is a growth of maturity, though you are very saved and you're very sanctified before you even begin this wonderful walk. And the reason why that's true is because Jesus died for me. He died for you. And because He died for you, you can now live for Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can jot this down in your margin, jump ahead for a moment to chapter 5, verse 23. And the reason why I'm going to give you this verse is so you understand this clearly, that we're not talking about a works-centered salvation. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "Now may the God of peace Himself," that is God, of course, "sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." God does the work. God does the work. And by the way, people, if there's no sanctification in your life, no personal holiness, then you're living exactly like the world is living today, people. To be sanctified, in the context of the study, they were given over to sexual passion. And Paul says, "You've been sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Don't live like that anymore." And you and I are living in a culture that says, man, if you've got a sexual desire, go do it. I kid you not, I heard on the radio, on the news this week, about a growing occupation and need. There are people who are married or not married, but they're very sexually active. And because of their sexual hangups, they're going now to these new types of therapists, and they make an appointment and they pay the person. And that person literally gets out from behind their desk, takes their tie off or takes their dress off, and walks them through their hangups. What's your problem? Well, this is my problem. Well, take your clothes off. I'll take mine off. And this is how we work through that problem. So when you go back to your husband or your wife, you'll be able to have success because, you know, I'll be able to show you how, and I'll see you next week. Now, listen. What people do not see, you may be thinking in your heart, especially if you're not a Christian, you say, "Hey, man, I'd like to sign up for that job." Wow! What a deal! You have no idea what you're doing to your soul. Oh, come on, man. If it feels good, do it. You see the bumper stickers? If it feels good, do it. Look out for number one. That's exactly what the donkeys had written right across their rear end in Thessalonica. People driving their donkeys around. Feels good, do it. Look out for number one. I had somebody in my office just recently say, I told them, this is an absolute. Right here, I'm going to give it to you. This is an absolute. And I gave it to them and they said, "Can you say that again?" "Yeah, this is an absolute." And I said, "Why?" "Because that sounds so good to me. Because where I work, they teach the children there are no absolutes. You can do whatever you want." Think about that for a minute. Do whatever you want. Teacher is teaching the kids. You have evolved. You're nothing. Live as you please. So some students last week get some poison, and they put the poison in the cup of the teacher to kill her. You can't tell them it's wrong, you know. Can't do that, because they're only animals. You can't tell them it's wrong because they're just doing what they want to do. There's no absolutes. You see, the humanistic existential belief system is you're nothing. And Paul is saying, keep yourself sexually pure, because those who are engaged in those things are communicating to the other person and to themselves, you're nothing. And no matter how we disguise it with roses and all this stuff and all the phone calls, it comes down to sin against God and against your own soul. And by the way, we'll read it if I ever get to it. The scripture will tell us, Paul tells us in Corinthians, that he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own soul. And it is the only sin recorded in the scripture that tells us that it has that effect. It's not playing the field. It's not practicing. We had one when we had our meeting with the teens, just Lisa and I met with your teens, all of them. One girl wrote us a note and she said, I don't care what you say. I don't care what the Bible says. I am practicing sex, so when I get married, I will be good at it. And she has no idea what she's doing to her soul and her mind and how she thinks and what she feels. It's a horrible thing. It breaks your heart. We're to be sanctified, set apart from the things of the world. Are you receiving this morning like someone who's scolding you? God forbid, that's the furthest thing from my heart. My heart's like Paul's this morning, to provoke you to listen to God. The second practical exhortation is found right here in verse 3. He says that you should abstain from sexual immorality. Those of you who are involved in the school system, cheer up. You read it right here in your Bible, 2,000 years old. The word is abstain. Many of you have been battling in the school district about teaching abstinence. And the people are looking at you like you're wackos. God gives us the power to abstain. He does. I'm talking about if you're not married. If you're married, well, we'll get to that in a minute. God gives us that ability. The word to abstain is to hold yourself back or to fight. People are not told to fight today. You get the urge, what do they say? Fulfill it. No, you say, God, help me. Lord, I'm being tempted. And our youth, not only our youth, our culture, but our youth are being tempted. And you need to tell your child, you know what? God can give you the power to say no. It says right here in the Bible that He'll give us the power to abstain. He's asking us to abstain. And that's the beautiful thing about God, is when He says something, when He requires something from us, He gives us the power to do it. He's so good. Abstinence is not only safe, it's wise and it's godly, and the soul that practices it will be preserved. We have to be careful that we're not tithing our souls away through sexual immorality. And this word here, sexual immorality, is one word in the Greek language, and you probably already know the word before I say it. It is the word porneia, pornography, porno. Porneia. Are you ready for that? And here's what you've been waiting for. This is the meaning of the word. A little word in the Greek. Listen to the meaning. It appears in various places of Scripture, but each spot having one or more or all of these meanings in it. Listen to this. Porneia, flee sexual immorality. Porneia, it means adultery. Having sex with someone who's married. Get out of it. Stay away from it. It's wrong. You're sinning against your own soul. The word also means fornication. That is two single people having sex. The word means incest. The word means male and female prostitutes. The word means homosexuality and lesbianism. The word means bestiality. In 1 Corinthians 6, 9, Paul says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor idolaters, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous people, nor drunkards or revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And here's the beautiful part. Listen, it's safe to say maybe 3/4 of this church might have had this sin in their life at some point in time. But listen to the next verse. Paul says, and such were some of you, but you were washed. But you were, here's our word, sanctified, but you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. There's a war going on inside your mind and your heart now that you've become a Christian, and your heart and soul has become a battlefield and temptation, and God gives you the power to yield to Him rather than to it. But even if you've given yourself over to these things and you've come through life like this, God wants to redeem you back. And it's a beautiful thing. I want you to hear me on this. I had one, maybe two original thoughts in all of my life. So when you have one, write one down because they're rare. And I'm hoping I can somehow write a book on this thing. But in my background in working with biologists and chemists in the research laboratories and stuff where I came out of, one of the things that we'd get in arguments about is the creation versus evolution. And don't get me started because I love that topic. And one of the things that God gave me was, it's obvious from Scripture that homosexuality is wrong. God loves the homosexual. He does not love the sin. God loves the liar. He hates the sin of lying. God loves the prideful person, but He hates the pride. So don't feel like, you know, always cracking down on that particular sin. I'm not. But we were all standing around one day fighting in the laboratory over science and stuff. And there was a moment of inspiration. Think about this for a minute. Do you believe in God? I said, no, maybe. Some of them, yes, no, maybe. Okay, it's regardless. Forget it then. Let's say we're all evolutionists. Let's be evolutionists for a minute. Let's put our little pointed head on and be an evolutionist for a minute. We don't believe in God. I don't have to be godly. I don't have to know the Bible. I don't have to quote God to show that homosexuality is wrong. All I have to do is be an atheistic evolutionist, and I can prove that homosexuality is wrong. Evolution argues against the practice of homosexuality because if you practice homosexuality, it destroys the species. It is unnatural, even if you're godless. If you believe as an evolutionist the survival of the fittest, then homosexuality would have been eradicated a long time ago because it destroys the fittest. It would have been selected out. It's very important. Homosexuality in every case and in all circumstances is 100% fatal to the propagation of the species. If you remove God out of the equation, it doesn't work. What are you saying, Jack? I'm saying, like what Paul just mentioned in 1 Corinthians right here, chapter 6, that it's a sin of choice. I thought it was genetic. Listen, scientists have proven it's not genetic. It's a sin of choice. I'd like to put it this way. The gay lifestyle is not genetic. It's a reaction. It could be a reaction to the way that they were brought up. It could be a reaction to the way somebody was treated. The point is, and if you are fall under that category this morning, here's some wonderful news. You're no different than the liar. And God can deliver both. He loves you so much, though He despises our sins. So how should the church walk? To flee from sexual immorality. The church can't walk very good if its pants are down around its ankles. How can you run with the footmen if God says to Jeremiah, if you've walked with the footmen and they've wearied you, what are you going to do when the Jordan overflows? Well, you can't even walk when your pants are down around your ankles. How are you going to walk in the church? You got to pull up your shorts. You got to walk holy. And you think, I can't believe he's saying this. People have so accepted sexual immorality. Just practice safe sex, is what they're telling our kids. Oh, really? Every time they say that, scientists and biologists cringe. I cringe when I hear that. Just, are you going to trust your life to a piece of latex? Where at any given time, the inconsistencies within the latex can vary from 5 to 8 microns. That means take a tennis racket. If you take a condom and you blow it up on an electron microscope, it looks just like a tennis racket. The problem is the AIDS virus does not exceed 3 microns in size. It passes right through. That's why they're telling you and your children, well, wear more than one. Oh, come on. They're asking a child to think like this. Listen, you guys think that we don't allow dating among our youth group because we're you know, trying to bum them out. Think about this for a minute, and then look what's happened to our youth group since. It's the hottest youth group going. Churches want our youth groups to come visit their church to turn them on to God. But you get little Betty, little Sherry, little Christy, little Rebecca, all dressed up, and you say, well, now you're 15, you're 16, and you go have a nice time on your first date. But don't touch him. And if he touches you, you just break his finger. And okay, so have a nice time. And they go on a date, and here's, you know, here's Junior. And Junior doesn't know which way's up. I've been there. Guys, all you know is she's not a G.I. Joe and she's not a Tonka. I don't know what to do. I can't tell you what I'm feeling. When I'm not looking in the mirror, I look like Mel Gibson, but when I look in the mirror, I still kind of see hints of baby powder. And now I'm on a date. My parents are 3 miles away. She smells great. He said, don't touch. Everything in me saying, touch, touch, touch. And we tell them, don't blow it. And they make it. They come home. Whew. Oh, it's only Monday. Debbie, I go out with Debbie Wednesday night. Try dating someone else. And then you got to do it all over again. It's like strapping a stake around your son's face and saying, don't let any lions eat you up or anything. They can't handle it. And you laugh and you say, well, yeah, sure, you know, I don't know. Listen, what if you, in your age, if you were single and you're dating and you have no idea about you know, I don't know if I'm going to make a commitment or not, and you see a different girl almost every night of the week, let me tell you, I don't care if you're King David, you'll fall. The scripture says you can't take fire into your chest and not get burned.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called How a Church Ought to Walk. Thanks for listening today, and please be encouraged. There is perfect love for us behind every commandment of God. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Did you know Pastor Jack has over 500 videos on YouTube? There's a lot of content there. Pastor Jack is great on the radio, and you're going to love him on YouTube, too. You're really going to enjoy what we've got up there at the YouTube website. Now, all you got to do is go to YouTube and search Real Life Jack Hibbs. You don't even have to put that word with in there. Real Life Jack Hibbs at YouTube. And just look what we've got. We've got interviews, clips from sermons, special online-only content, entire sermons available. Really lots of content that has to do with a whole bunch of different subjects. If you've got a question, you might find the answer you need right there at Pastor Jack's YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube and search Real Life. You'll find Pastor Jack Hibbs right there. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.